Blog Talk Radio.
Srishti Jaiswal, and she is going to introduce today that we're going to have Amit Jaiswal, who will be coming on with us shortly to discuss climate with Ms. Srishti Jaiswal. Ms. Jaiswal, how are you today?
Hi, Ms. Jay. I'm doing very well. Thank you. What about you?
I'm doing quite well. I think we need to hear you just a little bit louder, Ms. Jaiswal.
All right, am I audible now?
Yes, we can, a little bit higher.
Yes, how about now?
Yes, we can hear you. Well, you know, today we've had an amazing day, as you know, coming on today with the United Nations UN Women's event with the CSW. And, you know, before we get into that, you know, and have our guests come on, Srishti, I would love to ask you, what are your thoughts about today's topic, I believe? Would you share with everyone what today's topic is, and then we'll get a little bit into it as we are waiting for your guests to come on?
Yes. So in today's segment, we are going to talk about a very common topic, and this issue has touched each and every aspect of our life, and this is climate action. Today, we are going to talk about climate action and the evolving terms like climate justice and how it is important to attain sustainable development goals.
Well, you know, I'd really love, before we, you know, move further in, you know, Srishti, I'd love to get your thoughts on how you feel about women's empowerment and how you think it relates actually to climate. Well, you know what? I think we're going to have to table that question because we have your guest, Ms. Amit Jaiswal from the United Kingdom.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can, and it's such a pleasure to speak with you, sir. I am going to leave you, sir, right now with Ms. Srishti Jaiswal, as you both go into the area of climate and the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Ms. Srishti, may I introduce you to Mr. Amit Jaiswal, and Mr. Amit Jaiswal, please meet Ms. Srishti Jaiswal. I give you over, Ms. Srishti Jaiswal.
Thank you. Hello, sir. So,
hiya.
Allow me to begin with my show. Namaskar and hello everyone. Welcome to the show Jantravya, Public Wisdom. People's voice is important and it needs to be heard. Be it Generation X, Millennials, and my generation, Generation Z. In the third segment of this weekly show, Jantravya, I would like to talk about another essential topic that we have here today is climate action and climate justice. But before going on, I would like to welcome Mr. Amit Jaspal. Welcome you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So without any further ado, I don't think there is any need to lay the emphasis on how important this issue is and how day by day it is deteriorating. You know, whenever I get a chance to go somewhere out, I try to be as close as possible to nature. So I'm curious, what is climate action, sir?
Well, climate action is just like a broader term. Individuals taking responsibility of doing what they can do best to protect our climate, essentially. And yeah, so it can deviate to different things, into like things like conservation, ecologism, you know, climate sciences and etc. But it's just an umbrella term that reflects like the wider idea of protecting our climate.
That's right. So tell us how these environmental problems are also social problems.
Well, I think they all stem from social problems, essentially. So, you know, like responsibility, for example, the basic social problem of directing responsibility onto, you know, like especially younger kids like us, that kind of comes through when it comes to protecting the environment, per se. And just like deep-rooted social problems are mostly the stems for most environmental problems we see today. You know, the most I can think about is obviously responsibility, but it can widen out into a lot of things, so yeah.
Right. I think I agree with you on this one. So, when it comes to climate action and climate justice, we also talk about human actions. And we need some rigorous and instant human actions to curb this problem, as it is increasing at a very high pace day by day. What are your few suggestions that we should opt, as we call, for human action?
For human action, I think, like, what should be reinforced is just further trust and responsibility into younger people. Because obviously the problem is now ours to deal with. So, yeah, I think there should be like a shift in responsibility nowadays. Younger people should be given bigger and better roles in the situation. And yeah, I guess it's time for people like us to take over, in all honesty.
That's correct. But we often hear about leadership goals and global goals, as we call SDG goals as global goals. Now it is important that we focus on local levels. So what are the certain actions that people can actually take at home to end this thing instead of just changing or switching over?
Yeah, so like the big misconception is like problems like climate change are very, very, very complex. Like, but it is possible for people, individuals to make their own changes at home. Like, for example, one key change they can make is lessen their electronic usage. So, you know, lessen time on your phone and lessen time on your computer and et cetera, which is very difficult in a day and age like this, but it's pretty much crucial just because of the amount of energy output and useless resources it consumes. You know, lessening your time on electronic devices is probably one way to go.
Right. Even in fact, here in India, we have this practice of segregating dry waste and wet waste. And thereon, the dry waste is used for manures and things like that, so it can be further used. Whereas we have certain, and then there is plastic. What do you think that how we can end the usage of plastics? Because it is a major component in destruction of soil and nature.
Yeah, so yeah, plastic waste and plastic usage is currently being banned in a lot of countries around the world right now, but there's still a few steps to take, especially in the West. I think the main contender or the main alternative is zero waste, and these zero waste stores where you bring in your own bags and you bring in your own cutlery and cups and mugs and you fill it up and et cetera, et cetera. But like I said, it's like it's almost fundamental to society today. So it'd be very difficult to remove such a big component of what we use in our day-to-day lives without providing a strong alternative. But in all honesty, I see you know, these zero waste stores are pretty efficient in replacing plastic. You know, they're coming out here and there. You're seeing quite a lot of them in this day and age, and they seem to work. So I think that's the way to go.
Right, right. So, in your opinion, what actions can people take at home and they can put it to change? I mean, there are people who are in doubt that their actions hardly matter, you know, by changing your habits, like an individual changing a habit, how will it lead to a reform at such a big level? So is it just a myth that one of us is trying to bring about a change, or is it actually leading to something else, something bigger?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I couldn't hear you that well.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit better, yeah.
Right. So I just want to ask you, in your opinion, the actions that people take at home, actually they take up at their home, they try to end things. But often things come up in our mind that being an individual might not bring about change at such global level. So is it just a myth? Or we are actually leading to something else, something bigger?
Yeah. Well, let me start on the first point there. I think it's, I get what you mean, what people, like, you know, when they don't really have much interest to take change at home, especially when they see how big and how complex an issue like climate crisis is. For that, like, obviously, I personally think that that type of live and let go and herd mentality in that situation is probably very destructive. I'd say for that, what's required is just, you know, persistent effort on the individual, people to do what's best for what they know is right. So for everyone to do what's best for the environment, essentially, at the end of the day. And in terms of I'm not sure what the second part of your question meant, as in, are we leading to something bigger or worse? Like, what did you mean by that?
What I was trying to put up there is that being an individual, we often feel the smallness of our stature as compared to the larger part of the world.
Yeah.
So does it really make a difference by just us as an individual, one person doing... bringing about changes?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I understand. So yeah, I mean, it does, you know, like the thing is, right, if you're an individual that starts to make a change, and you know, inevitably speaking, people around you start to notice, like your close friends and your family, and then they begin to repeat their follow on the actions that you do. So even if you make slight changes, it'll be noticed by your inner circle. And then it rinses and repeats, you know, like they make changes in their lives and they become more environmentally and eco-friendly. And then people around them notice and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, I believe the quote, as it says, every drop counts, our actions are just like that.
Yeah.
So we often talk about in this modernized world where industrialization, urbanization, we have gone through intense processes like that. What is this holistic approach and ecological view that we need to adopt, and why?
the holistic view and ecological approach. There was this book written by this famous American ecologist called Aldo Leopold. I think it was called A Sand County Almanac, and essentially he talks about something called the land ethic. And what it revolves around is the idea that the environment starts at your feet, and it's not in the forest somewhere, you know, that you can't even ever go to. Like, the biggest misconception is people consistently think that when I say, you know, look after the environment, it's not in the ocean, it's not in the desert, it's not in the rainforest, not in places you don't see. It's literally at your feet. It's where you drop your rubbish. It's where you, you know, drop your cigarettes and this and that. So if people start to adopt the idea that the environment starts at the feet, I think that could be one massive ecological change we can have globally.
Yeah, even I heard of this approach, nurture nature and nature nurture. I'm not sure if you would have heard of it.
I heard it a few times.
So I think for the longest period of time, we have been following nature nurture. But it's time that we nurture nature, isn't it?
Yes, for sure.
So tell us more about how climate action is the foundation and the base of the other sustainable development goals. I mean, by book and by the definition, sustainable development goal is something that meets the needs of the future without compromising the ability of, I mean, which meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of the future. But will there be any futures if we are ruling this present consistently?
Yeah, so like we're in terms of the UN Development Goals, they all tie in to maintain a sufficient future for younger generations. And the biggest concern, obviously, for that is the climate crisis. So therefore, all goals are like indirectly directed, to say the least, to reducing the climate crisis problem. That's what I think on how the UN goals are developed. But what was the second part of your question? Sorry.
Second part was you probably answered it. Since I was just asking that if there is no present, how will there be any future? I mean, how can we even expect to implement those SDGs in future when there is no future at all?
Yeah, no, I understand. That's, you know, it's all about individual responsibility and trying to do what's best.
So, more on climate change in action. What is climate restoration and what is climate change? I mean, is there any difference? Could you enlighten us?
Sorry, the difference between climate change and climate... Climate restoration, did you say?
Yes, that's correct.
So, like, climate change looks at the, not really the day-to-day, but, like, the monthly and the yearly changes in climate. And, like, you can identify that in patterns of carbon dioxide, you know, large-scale things like... patterns in monthly rainfall. And climate restoration, I'm assuming, is more to do with, reducing the costly factors that we have implied into our own climate itself, I guess. I'm not too enlightened on the sciencey stuff myself, so I'm not exactly the best person to ask.
Yeah, it's all right. I think we still got some idea. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Christy. I'm gonna have to end this soon, just because I'm in the middle of my own school lesson. So I have about 4 minutes that I can keep on going. Is that okay with you?
Oh yeah, sure. I don't have a problem. So
Sorry about that.
It's all right. Let us take up our last question. that in the recent World Sustainable Development Summit, there were certain points that came up, like climate justice. So please elaborate on that point.
Yeah. What were the points on climate justice? I'm not too sure.
Climate justice, yes.
As in sorry, what was the question again? Did you want me to?
Since this is a relatively evolving concept, climate justice, acknowledges climate change, you know, how it affects us socially, economically. So can you give us certain examples so the listeners can understand it in a better manner?
For climate justice, I think the examples are all around. Like for us, for example, what we're doing and speaking about things here, across the oceans, we're just talking about just changes and developments and what people are doing in their lives and etc.
That's right.
But climate justice is more of a talking matter than it is a scientific matter. Like, you know, I think climate justice is like the upfront and the appeal for the climate science that is going on to actually restore the environment. I think climate justice is more of the social tool to make the large scale scientific change, essentially.
Right.
And things like the UN with the Creators 2030, I think that's like a good, you know, mechanistic tool to push these things through.
That's really rightly said. With this, just a small question before we come to an end of the segment, that we often see these hashtags trending on Twitter, hashtag Race to Zero. So can you explain a bit more about this, that what this Race to Zero is all about?
Yeah, I think it's the race is net zero emissions, if I'm not wrong, or it could also be net zero change in climate, but I'm pretty sure it's net zero emissions. And currently, you know, especially in Western countries, and even a lot of Asian countries, the amount of CO2 emissions that these countries are producing are phenomenal. And I think the goal is to by either 2030 or 2050 to either reduce or completely eliminate all emissions and have like a net neutral stance on the whole situation. And obviously many countries are doing things like, you know, reducing public transport and making it free for some people. Like in Germany, for example, inner city transport is mostly free. I'm not too sure. Or, in the UK, they're banning diesel and petrol cars by 2030. And there's loads of incentives in play to even try and get your own electric car. And I know in India, for example, there's quite a few places where like you can get your car converted into an electric car for very cheap, if I'm not wrong. There's loads of things going in the smaller and wider world for that to happen. So
well, it was an interesting conversation with you, Mr. Amit.
Definitely. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. So while we come to the end of our third segment of Dantragya, I would just like to paint a picture in front of you all, my listeners. Whenever, like, I get a chance to go out, I like to go out some place where I can be close to nature, as I mentioned earlier. The fresh green leaves, the flowers, that air which blows over my face from time to time, it is just so relaxing, refreshing, and it's soothing. And I'm pretty sure each one of you feels that way. I mean, I relish it, and I believe we all do. But it is such a pity. Imagine that there will be just rare places like these where you will get to visit in future. With this urbanization and modernization, we have polluted our cities and states at all possible levels. So it is time that we understand the importance of the bounty nature has to offer. And not only just etched in our hearts, but we can see it in future when we are in 2030. It is about the choices that you make. Your choices make a difference. So with this, we come to an end. Thank you, listeners. Stay tuned.